Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I am Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you would join us today. We know that God has a word for you, and I'm ready to get into this message today. Listen, God is doing some exciting things, and I don't know where your faith is or where your level of expectation is, but I challenge you to take it up to the next level. God has some things that he wants to do for you. And if you can expect God, believe God, then God will do exactly what you're asking. Before we go any further, let's go ahead and get our announcement and our prayer from Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Go ahead, Prophetess, give us our announcement.
Good morning, everybody. Once again, welcome to Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. Just want to give you the announcements for this morning. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Join my husband, Apostle McQueen, for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. On Thursdays at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear both broadcasts live at www.ctkr.org. That is also our website, which we do invite you to visit us there. Take some time to learn more about Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and about the founders, Apostle Christopher McQueen, and myself. We also invite you to go to our contact page if you would like Apostle or myself to minister at any of your programs. There's a in the contact page, please put your information in, be detailed as possible. Amen. And someone will contact you within 24 to 48 hours. Amen. That's 24 to 48 hours. Be as detailed as possible. Also, if you would like to learn anything about Women of Prophetic Destiny, also known as WOPD, click on my page, amen, and you will learn more about what it is that I do and my contribution, amen, to the kingdom of God as it relates to the prophetic. Now, also want to let you know we have a Facebook page. We ask you to like us on our Facebook page. Also, leave your prayer requests and your praise reports as well. Let us know what God is doing in your life. You can find us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministries or WOPD, also known as Women of Prophetic Destiny. And speaking of Women of Prophetic Destiny, I am personally inviting each and every one of you. Listen, people, we are 3 weeks away from a life-changing conference, 2013. It is known as Women of Prophetic Destiny, Do Not or Don't Abort Your Assignment. That is this year's theme, power-packed, power-filled, preaching, teaching, praise, and worship. We are expecting God, amen, to show up and show out as only he knows how. We're expecting God to minister, to heal, signs, wonders, and miracles happening, amen, in that place. And where is that place? It's being held at Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street in the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida. That's Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church is where Christ the King Redemptive Ministries is holding the conference, Women of Prophetic Destiny, at 213 Stone Street, Greater St. Paul, Cocoa, Florida. We invite you to be there. That's October 18th and 19th. Amen. October 18th and 19th. Be there. Also, go to my contact page, WOPV. You can register there. It is free. Amen. Amen. Those are the announcements. I'm excited about what God is doing, and I want to see your face there, getting all that God has for you. Amen. Let us pray. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this day. We thank you for waking us up this morning and starting on our way. God, we thank you right now for the word that we're about to receive. Our hearts and our minds are drawn in right now in the name of Jesus. We're open to you, Holy Spirit, to receive what it is that you want us to hear and to know, and most of all, to do. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, we ask that you would wash us, cleanse us in your blood, wash us and forgive us for all sins of righteousness, God. Make us pure before you, that when we lift up our hands, they will be pure. And when we open up our mouths, our voice and the sound that comes forth will be a sweet sin unto your nostril. Father, we thank you and we praise you. Anoint the man of God as he comes forth this morning. God, give him the knowledge. Give him the wisdom. Open up our ears. Take the scales off of our eyes. Let us see. Unclog our spiritual ears that we may hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. And give us the faith. Strengthen our faith and our feet. We can walk forward therein in the name of Jesus. Stir our hearts and our minds, God. Give us a will to do your will. Stir our hearts, stir our minds, change us over, make every pathway straight in Jesus' name. Now, God, we give your name all praise and glory as you begin to birth in us the kingdom lifestyle, as you begin to birth out of us your kingdom principles. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
And amen. Thank you for that dynamic and awesome prayer. We're so grateful that God has given us the ability to minister this word. And it's not something that we take lightly. Too often, I would say that people receive just a little bit of instruction. They go a long way. And then people receive little instruction and try to go a long way. The problem with it, the second one, is that when you receive little instruction, you go a long ways, but it'll always be in the wrong direction. And somehow or another, we feel that we can do things as we need to do it without God's instruction in our life, and we need to have that more than anything else. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we want to really get into a few things in this word, and I know that God is speaking to us concerning this word and what he wants to say to his people. We're going to go into 1 Corinthians this morning. Amen. And let's go to the second chapter. Yes, yes. While you're getting that scripture together, I just want to reiterate the Woman of Prophetic Destiny conference that is coming up, meeting with the those who will be serving yesterday, and the conversations that we're having. We know that God has already blessed this and ordained this meeting, and you don't want to miss it. If you have the opportunity to make it, I would make it. Amen. I can't say it any other way other than God has really given us, you know, some people who really come in and really believe in the vision that he's given us, and they're ready to go forward. You want to be a part of this. I don't know how to say it any other way other than you really want to be a part of this. Amen. So, October 18th and 19th. Thank God for the Greater St. Paul, Pastor Bryant, and the Greater St. Paul family that has allowed us to use the facility for the conference. And they're a wonderful facility, amen. But we're not so much excited about the facility as we are about the move of God that we know is about to take place. So we want you to be a part of that. Come on out, you know, bring your shouting shoes, bring your worship, you know, clothing. If you come in the power of God, don't think for 1 minute that we're going to sit there and look at you. The Bible says, rejoice with them that rejoice, and we shall be rejoicing. That's one way to look at it, amen. But we're looking for a mighty move of God, and we know from everything that we're experiencing now that it shall be just that. Our expectation is at that level, and we know that God will do what he said, amen. Now, let's get into this. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, starting at the first verse. Paul is speaking here, and it says, when I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words or impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, amen, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid, and trembling. And my message was, and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever, persuasive speeches, I relied on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would not trust in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Amen. What we have to understand here, and I appreciate what the Apostle Paul was saying here, and we have to have this in our own selves. It's that too often we go off to school, we learn how to properly speak and become great orators. We can stand in front of masses of people and hold the crowd's attention and flow and move as we feel we need to. But the reality is that unless the Spirit of God is saying something, amen, nothing really is being done there. And we got enough movement, amen, without progression. We need to start putting focus on moving forward, if you will. Yes. So Paul right here is speaking, you know, not against those who are learned, because we already know that Paul was very learned. He's not speaking against education because we know that he was very educated. What he's saying is that although I could have come to you in that manner, I chose not to. And see, we have to understand that this here is important for us as those who minister the gospel. We need to hold on to this for ourselves, because too often we're trying to show everybody how wise we are or how smart we are. And if you are showing how you are something, then that means that Christ can't show anything through you at that place, because you are blocking him with you. Amen. The whole ideal of ministering this gospel is, let me get out the way so that he can shine through me. Let me decrease so he can increase. Amen. Through me. So we magnify the Lord, but we humble ourselves. Amen. Paul says then, I'm not going to come to you with lofty words or impressive wisdom that I've learned over the writings that I've studied from the ages. No, I'm not coming to you with that. I'm going to simply tell you God's plan. Amen. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to tell you anything else except Jesus. And I tell you, when we get back to preaching Jesus. Oh, we preach some of everything. We've gone from pastors in a pulpit to life coaches and motivational speakers. But when we get back to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and focus on Jesus, then we'll see a change in the body of Christ. We'll see a change in our economy. We'll see a change in our environments. We'll see a change in our society. It was when we were preaching Jesus that we stopped seeing some of the crazy that's out there today. But we stopped preaching Jesus and we started preaching feel good, and crazy showed up as well. We got to get back to preaching the gospel. Amen. It's all about Jesus. Amen? So he said here in the second verse, for I decided that while I was with you, that I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness. In other words, he didn't come saying, you don't know who I am. I've been here. I've been there. I've held letters of authority from the Jewish council and from the temple. And I used to have this and I set up under this person. He didn't come trying to be great and wonderful. He came in his as humble as he could. The Bible says here, I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling. In other words, I didn't just say I was humble. I demonstrated my humility. Mm-hmm. You see that? Mm-hmm. Huh? I was preaching last week, and thank God for those ministries that we were with. We had an awesome time. I mean, that was a full weekend. I enjoyed myself. But while I was ministering, the Holy Spirit asked the question. He said, do we have a Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, in our spirit? And that was the question I posed. And when you are coming in weakness and timidity and demonstrating humility, then you don't have that in your spirit. Because as soon as somebody come and says something to you, as soon as something happens one way or the other, you're ready to check people, put them in their place, remind them of who you are. Show them your credentials, your pedigree, and the rest. And I want you to know that you're part of the family of God. Once you got saved, amen, you are a babe in Christ. Now, as a babe in Christ, although everything belongs to you, you have to mature up to responsible demonstration of authority, which means that you can't just show up and say, I'm a child of God, and do everything you want to do, because sometimes we have not learned by a certain age, amen, how to submit to God, his will, his purpose, his plan, amen? And you can tell the maturity level of some by how often they look for their things. If you're serving God to serve him, then you're not concerned about stuff. But when you're looking for your stuff, then you're not really concerned about the serving God part, because you're trying to get something from him without giving him something, amen? So what happens here is when you're focus on Jesus, he can give you, amen, the world, and the world won't sway you from focusing on Jesus. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, what happens is the enemy offers you the world, amen, trying to get you away from your assignment. We've missed this in the body of Christ or in the church, amen, because the body is sealed into Jesus, but the church has missed this, amen. How do I know? Let's go back to Jesus being tempted by Satan. What did he offer Jesus? He offered him power. He offered him the governments of the world and the material in the world and everything else. And all he wanted him to do was bow down and worship. See, we think that it's not a bad thing, you know, to get ahead. But if the means of you getting ahead is not focused in your kingdom agenda, what God set forth for you, God's purpose and plan for your life, then getting ahead could cause you to go way far behind. Amen? So the enemy knows how to give you things if it's going to bind you up. You see that? And people think, well, this must be God because look at what he allowed me to get. Stop, check yourself, and check and see if that was really God. Or was that your fleshly desires being placated by the enemy to deter you from your destiny? See, when you can't come to church because you gotta work extra hours to make a payment on a car that you always wanted that you said God gave you, God didn't give you the car to stay away from him. Amen? So you really have to look at how you got that car. And what it's doing to you and your relationship with God. Well, I still love him. Yeah, you still love him, but listen, I'm married to Prophetess Crystal. Let me come home and don't say hello to her. Huh? Let me walk around the house and don't even acknowledge that she's here. How long do you think it will be before me and Prophetess Crystal have a problem? Now, let's think about how often you walk around and don't acknowledge God. How often do you walk around and come into his presence and fail to give him praise? How many times have we excused ourselves from the assembling of ourselves together because something else came up that we deemed more impossible or more important than coming before God? See, Satan knows how to trip you up, but we shouldn't be ignorant of the enemy's devices. We have to see what he does and understand it, amen? And when people challenge you on that, the first thing we know, notice when your flesh is in charge, is that you defend your flesh, amen? Paul was right here. He said, I came to you in weakness, timid, and trembling. In other words, he said, I'm not going to defend bad behavior by pedigree. In other words, my family's always done this. This is how we do it. No. He said, listen, I didn't come to you trying to validate myself. I didn't come trying to be smart, wise. I didn't try to come be extra impressive or anything else. I didn't speak big words. I didn't claim. Huh? I came in humility. Amen. You see that? And then he said, my message was that of Christ. Amen? Huh? Look at it in 4th verse. He said, my message and my preaching were very plain. And I understand that looking for a little extra, sometimes we try to go into our dictionaries and try to do a little extra here and a little extra there. And you should study to show yourself approved. A workman not ashamed of the word, amen. So as you were dealing with that, amen, you have to go in and exegete your passages. You need to know what it's really saying, amen. But after you get done finding out what it really says, don't convolute the message with your intelligence. Get you out the way and preach a simplistic gospel so that even those who are less learned than you, amen, can understand the words that are coming out of your mouth. What good is a gospel that is not understood? Hello, somebody. So we have to learn how to preach the gospel. We have to preach this gospel in means and in ways that people can understand it and receive it. Amen. There was a young man who was very successful at winning souls to Christ, but he wasn't very articulate, if you will. So he used a lot of slang. He used Ebonics at times, but he believed in God. So when he began to pray and he began to walk and do what God called him to do, then we used to, there was miracle signs and wonders that would manifest. And every once in a while he was praying and talking, the Holy Spirit would tell him something, and he would go to the pastor and tell him, the Lord said blah, 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 blah. And he would say, you know what? I just prayed about it. God just gave me that answer. So you just brought me the confirmation to what I prayed about. Thank you, brother. I remember one time in the middle of service, Bishop Garrett put up this young man and put him up. And as he was speaking, the young man got up and spoke and said what God said and was dead on. And this was not the only time he has done this. He had did it before. And he did it many times after that. But the fact is that the young man wasn't dressed right. He didn't know how to keep his body right. So he had his hygiene was in question. Amen. He looked like he had some mental, deficiencies. Amen. So people used to look past him. But I want you to know, he understood the gospel. He understood his relationship with God. And because he understood that, God used him and spoke to him in clarity, amen. When he began to share the gospel, he would share the gospel in simplistic terms. And people who heard it understood the gospel and got saved. You see that? So now, here we are. We're trying to show people that we know all the words of a thesaurus, all the definitions in the dictionary. We've read everybody's book and got everyone's opinion on these scriptures and matters, but have you got God's opinion? And can you tell somebody about it without making them feel that they don't know anything? You understand? We have to come with a very plain message. And my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied, thank you, Jesus, on the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the problem that we need to have here with this, within ourselves and within our society and our churches, is how come we don't see the manifestation of the power of God today? Surely there's enough preaching going on. There's people who have gone off and gotten degrees upon degrees. I have a publication that I subscribe to, and they ask the question, is your gospel too convoluted? What they were saying, simply put, is that too often we go off and we have more degrees than the thermometer. But when we turn around to show people what God has said, we have a problem articulating that gospel because our learning has gotten in the way of our dissertation, or our learning has gotten in the way of our simply telling somebody what the Word of God says. Now, with all of that, you learned it, yes. You've gone off to school. You got your associates, your bachelor's, your master's. You got your doctorate. After all is said and done, you got all your paperwork. You got certificates. You got citations and everything else. But when's the last time that we saw a positive, powerful move of God? Yeah. See, we've learned how to become intelligent with this. But we have to be able to submit ourselves to God so that God can take over. Amen. Huh? Huh? We got to allow him to do what he's trying to do. See, the power of God is what demonstrates everything to the world. The world has heard every good argument. Paul going to Athens, and there he began to speak to different ones who were learned, the Stoics, the Epicureans. He began to deal with them. But after all was said and done, all they had was arguments of intelligence and philosophy back and forth. And that's how some people view the preaching of the gospel. What sets the preaching of the gospel aside for truth and for power is the demonstration of the power of God in miracles, signs, and wonders.
Yes, sir.
See, yes. That's it. After all is said and done, after all has been done, where are the miracles?
That's it.
See, we've learned how to build our sermons up, set a foundation. You need to have a text, and then you need to set it in context, and then you need supporting text, and then you need to have point one, point two, point three, and then you need to pull everything together with a close, and then issue out invitation to Christ. Wonderful. You have a foundation. You have a format for putting together a sermon. But after all is said and done, going back to how I was raised and how I how I came up under tent revivals and the like of power, miracles, signs, and wonders, we used to see people walk in drunk, staggering all over the grounds, but come up under the tent instantly, sober up. And while they sobered up, they're looking like, what just happened? I still remember Bishop Garrett saying, that's okay, have a seat. I know you don't know what happened to you when you walked in here, but the Holy Spirit has seized or has arrested that stupor. And now you're about to experience real life. These people got saved because they experienced not a good word, but a good example of the power of God. So now we have to get past just talking the game, and we have to start living the game. So what he said here, he said, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever, persuasive speeches, I relied on the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I did this so you would not trust in human wisdom, but in the power of God. And when we stop trying to be wise and smart and intelligent in our own eyes, then the power of God can be demonstrated through our lives. Remember, brother and sister, you are a vessel being used by him.
That's it.
That's it. If he don't pour into you, you can't get nothing out of you. Amen? So what we do is instead of praying and seeking God, we begin to read books with examples of what somebody else did. We get up and we begin to preach that. Amen? And as we get up to preach that, then what happens is we expect the power of God to move. But see, you didn't preach God's word. You preached someone else's word. You preached someone else's experience, someone else's example. So now that word doesn't have power. It doesn't have to be validated by the Holy Spirit. But when you get in this word right here, you preach this Bible from Genesis to Revelation, what you will find out is that the Holy Spirit will validate that word because he's the one who validates the truth.
Yes, he does.
How does it work? After he gets done, we get done with all of this, then he begins to show us, amen, the power, the majesty of the King. Amen. We need to know this because when we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, we need to understand how it manifests. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12. Amen. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Mm-hmm. It says, now, dear brothers, start at the first verse. It says, now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your questions about special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. In other words, if you see somebody who can try to work miracle signs and wonders, but in the same words, voice, same breath, turn around and talk about, well, you know, God has other ways to get to him. Listen, Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. If you find somebody who's trying to preach to you that there's other ways to God, leave that congregation because that is not scripturally sound. I don't care what they're driving in there. And you've heard me say it before, this prosperity theology that people run around with, talking about the more I have, the more holier I am. Don't fool yourself. The devil is a liar. I said it earlier. He can bless you too if it means the destruction of your soul. Huh? So people are running around talking about whether they must have it because look at how many people are going to the church. Oh, well, listen. How many people go to a rock concert? Hmm? How many people will show up at a hip-hop artist retreat? They fill up stadiums. Is that because that's the truth? See, when we begin to equate numbers and material things with spiritual levels in God, then we begin to see the wrong thing. Amen? We got to see what he sees. And respond to what he sees. Amen? So he said, no one, speaking by the Spirit of God, will curse Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And understand this. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It's not talking about those who don't live the life and lie. They don't really believe it. We're talking about the manifestation of the Spirit of God to validate that Jesus is Lord in your life. You can't do it without the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So now he begins to go into it. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts. Amen? But the same Spirit is the source of them all. Amen? There are different kinds of service. But we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. In other words, even though you're going to see differences in all of these, recognize and realize that God is the one who is in control of it, and without the Holy Spirit, none of these work. Amen. I began to, when we first got married, prophetess and I, she was looking and she said, I really want the gift of healing. I really want the gift of healing. I said, baby, don't worry about the gift of healing. Worry about learning the Spirit. Amen. Once you learn the Spirit, When healing is needed, healing will manifest. When miracles are needed, miracles will manifest. But while you're focusing on one, you're coveting the gift instead of coveting the spirit. And once you go after him wholeheartedly, amen, go after God wholeheartedly, go after following Jesus and his precepts and his examples in our life, after you go after all of those things, then whatever is needed will manifest. Amen. Look what it says here in the seventh verse. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. If you think that you got the gift of prophecy so you can make yourself rich, telling people what the Spirit is showing you, it won't be too soon before you are in divination. Amen? And that brings me to something else I need to say here. For every gift, the devil has a counter gift to that. Spiritual manifestation, the devil has a counterfeit manifestation. You understand? So while we're sitting here trying to prove to people that we really got it because the gift is flowing. See, I said it before and I'll say it again. Some of you are working out of the grace of God. The grace of God is his ability he places upon you. Ephesians 4 and 7, amen. The gift that he gives you, the grace that he places upon you because of the gift that he set inside of you. It is what allows you to walk in the office of a prophet, apostle, a pastor, evangelist, a teacher. That gift or that grace is there. Amen. So the grace covers you and allows you to do what you need to do. Amen. That's what we see there. That word is charis or charis, if you will. Same word here, a spiritual gift, charis. It's given to each one of us so we can help each other. Amen? Now, understand something. That gift grace or that grace there covers you and allows you to do things. But when you are disobedient to God, that grace turns to mercy. What do you mean? I mean this. When you should have been cut off because of your disobedience, we saw Samson laying his head in Delilah's lap. He did it several times and still got up and slayed the Philistines. It was one time that he did it and shook himself like he always did, and the grace, you see, was gone. His mercy was over because mercy was extended from the point that he started messing with the pagan women that he was not supposed to mess with. Remember, it was told to his mother and his father that he was not to mess with foreign women. So the first time he started messing with them, he went from grace to mercy. And that's the problem some of us have, is that we've gone from grace to mercy, and because you're still shaking yourself and things are happening, you think that God is winking at your sin. God is not winking. God did not back down. God did not renegotiate the clause of what was going on with you. Your assignment did not change. All of those things are still impacted, amen, by your obedience. God is still looking for you to do what he called you to do.
Amen.
And when you don't do it, his grace lifts up off of you. But his mercy still covers you, allowing you to do what you're doing. Let me give it to you in another way so you can clearly see this. If your lights were supposed to be, your bill was supposed to be paid on the first, your light bill, and you don't pay your light bill on the first, they may give you a 5-day grace period. Huh? Now, after you get done with that 5-day grace period, you go to that 6th day and they ain't cut off your lights. You're on mercy. See? And some of you keep coming in, flipping the switch, thinking that God's going to leave the light on. Brother and sister, get your life right. Come and submit yourself before the mighty hand of God. Amen. Let him bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Submit your life. Ask God for forgiveness. Get yourself together and begin to walk in obedience. Amen.
Amen.
How when you walk in obedience, then you'll find out that God will bless you for coming to him. I want you to understand that it's not God's will that he punish you, but that you come into alignment with his plan, purpose, and will for your life. Amen. So God has already walked out those things for you. He set them in place. But even after all of that, you still have to align and submit your will to his will. See, when you don't do that, then what happens is mercy has to keep you. Huh? Now, when you say forgive me, then your mercy goes back to grace. And then you can deal with a spiritual gift. It's given to each one of us so we can help one another. Amen? So here it is. What are these gifts then that we're talking about? A first, to one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives the message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown language, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. But listen to this, and this right here is what we have to grab hold of. Because while we're talking about who can speak and who's filled and who's doing this and who got a gift and who's working, guess what? After all is said and done, this 11th verse really puts it into perspective. It brings it all the way around. It says this: it is the one and the only Spirit who distributes all of these gifts. Notice that while he was speaking of it, he said to some or to one is given or to another is given. He didn't say they were given all of them to each one. I know that messes with somebody's theology right there, because you know what? You should be able to work miracle signs and wonders. Listen, Acts, the second chapter, we see they were speaking in unknown tongues. The speaking in unknown tongues at that point was really just the advent of the Holy Spirit. He's here. The gift has come. Now, here, Paul gives us clarity as to what the Holy Spirit does when he demonstrates gifts through men. Amen. And notice where it says to some to speak in unknown language. Glossia is the word that we look here in the Greek. Amen. When we begin to look at this, we see that they spoke, Acts 2 and 4, glossia. We see here, he's saying to some, glossia. Amen. But if you are filled with the Holy Spirit within these nine gifts, we should see some functioning in your life. See, the Spirit does this. Amen. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So if you are in the body of Christ, if you are in the family of God, if you are a kingdom citizen, somewhere amongst these nine gifts, we should see your life operating. You see that? We should see this in your life. When we don't see that and you're still waiting on a man and woman of God to do all of that for you, my thing is, let's go back and make sure we did the first work. Let's get you saved real good. Now, let's make sure that you understand that at some point you got to stop drinking milk. It would be a shame for me to be a grown man as old as I am and all I'm still drinking is milk. Do you think that I would have strength in my body? My muscles can't grow off of milk. It'll strengthen my bones, but it don't do a whole lot for my muscle. You understand? For my muscles to grow, I need meat. Amen? For my body to function right, I need to put something else other than milk inside of me. See? And we have people who have been saved for years who only have had milk and little shreds of meat. So when it comes down to them being able to eat maybe chopped steak or something, they have a hard time digesting that. It's a little too rich for them. They never really had it. Can we go back to just a little bit of milk? Listen, milk will wash down real meat. Amen? You have to understand that after all is said and done, you need to get the real meat of the word. And if you need something to wash it down, get some milk of the word. Amen? It works together. Amen? So now, when we begin to look at this and understand it, then we understand that God has given us some things that we need to work with. Paul, in the second chapter, 1 Corinthians 2, amen, when he begins to speak this here, he says in the fourth verse, and my message and my teaching were very plain, rather than using clever, persuasive speeches, which we see him use in Acts, amen, with the Stoics and Epicureans, we see him here. He's saying, I came to you very plain, and I didn't come here trying to impress you with any of that. Rather, I relied on the Holy Spirit, or the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would not trust in human wisdom, but in the power of God. So now when I start talking about milk and I start talking about meat, let's look where he goes from this. He is very aware, acutely aware, that we as saints, as children of God, cannot remain in an infantile state. And I think what happens is we have remained in an infantile state so long because those who are in leadership sought to keep us there. Ooh, what are you saying? No, I'm not telling you that that they purposely left you there. Some did, amen. But some of you have refused to grow. No matter what the word comes, no matter how rich the word is, no matter how the power of God is demonstrated before you, you refuse to matriculate. You refuse to grow. You don't want to grow up. You run away from things that God is telling you to do. Everything is about scare or nervous, and I don't want it. You know, people move out too quick. Wait a minute. People move out too quick. Yes, that's right. And if you look in your natural life, there was a certain time when you got to an age where you recognized, I probably should be on my own and not sitting under my parents' house. Huh? It's not everybody, because there are people who move back home to live with parents, but they do so because it is a convenience to the parent, amen, and not because of the immaturity of the child. See, we have to understand it, because people look at the same thing and attribute that, you know, different ways. Well, they must be living at home because they ain't grown. No, I need to help out mama. I need to help out daddy. So I came back home because that was the best thing for us. Amen. In their family. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those who refuse to grow. Huh? Well, what was the failure to launch? The movie? The son out there, you know, and they're hiring people trying to get him, you know, successfully involved in the relationship so he could move. And, you know, some of us spiritually are just like that. No matter what your spiritual parent does for you, trying to encourage you, support you, push you forward, you can't go nowhere. You know why? Because you refuse to walk out the door. The more that they drop hints and send encouragement your way, the more you go and act like you ain't heard nothing. See, that becomes a burden. Amen. So when we start talking about maturity, we're talking about you growing. And let me give you the other side of that. There are some spiritual leaders who went instead of were sent. So their ideal of birthing out and building up is making you a greater servant under me, because I'm afraid that you might become greater than me. Listen, I hope that my son and my spiritual sons and daughters will become greater than me. It means that I was so successful that I gave them the proper tools to be successful. And where they saw me go, they started there and went greater. Wouldn't it be sad if everybody only got to my level as their spiritual father? Huh? I mean, if I have 3, 5, 17 churches under me, that's all that they look to get, 3, 5, 17 churches. Spiritual sons, you only got 10 spiritual sons. I only want to get 10 because that's what my father got. Oh, hold on, hold on. That should be my start point. Huh? Whatever my spiritual parents have done, I should be doing greater than that. Whatever my natural parents have done, I should be doing greater than that. You can look at it this way, because some people have a hard time receiving it. Look at it this way. Mother didn't go to college, but I did. Father went to college but didn't get a degree. I got a degree. Now, see, is that degrading my father, or is that showing that I honor my mother and father because where they showed me to go, I went, and I completed the journey? You see that? We have to push to be better. push to be greater. Amen. And when I say push to be better, push to be greater, I'm not degrading or bringing down those who have gone before us. I'm saying based on the example that they've given us, you need to learn that lesson and demonstrate that you got it and that you can build on that. Amen. See, Christ set a foundation for us. But we don't just stop at the foundation. We build upon it. Amen. And let every man be careful how you build upon that foundation. What happens to a building that is just a foundation? It's not really a building, is it? No walls. No ductwork. You see that? No roof. No windows. No doors. What kind of building is that? Well, we got a foundation. Wonderful. Build on it. Do something with the foundation. Amen. You can't do anything until you mature. Amen. Paul here in the sixth verse says, yet when I am among mature believers, I do not speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world. So you saying, listen, man of God, I've gone through and I've been saved and I need some meat. Okay, I'm so happy because, you know, we got meat to give you. Amen. Paul saying here, you know, when I came to you, I came to you and I talked to you as children. I spoke a plain gospel. I did not come with impressive words or impressive wisdom and persuasive speeches. I demonstrated the power of God. I demonstrated the power of the Holy Spirit. Yet, here he is. When I am among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom of this world or to the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak is of the mystery of God. Now, this is where mature saints get in. This is where we begin to deal with the meat of the matter. Amen. And the meat of the matter is that when we begin to speak back and forth, we're not debating the scriptures. We're validating, huh? Or we're revealing the mystery of God. Now, the mystery of God has already been spoken to us. We know what the mystery of God is. Amen. The mystery of God is Jesus. Amen. Huh? And when we speak the mystery of God, we speak about him and how he revealed through his life the whole plan of salvation to us. Isn't it wonderful that God chose at this time to let you live? This is a chosen time. Look at your neighbor and say, this is a time that God chose for me to live.
This is a time that God chose me to live.
Mm-hmm. Out of all the time that you could have came to life, God chose now. Why is this time now, this date here, September 28th, 2013, important? It is important because God's plan for your life is set for this time of existence. Okay. So you come from a plan, through a plan, to impact the plan, to lead the plan to others who are going to complete the plan. Amen. We look at this as contractors who are coming in, if you will, so that you can get a good vision of good visual of this. Contractors who are coming in to do a work on a building. Each contractor comes in at a certain time to do a certain work on a building. So you have those who come in and lay the piping and the conduits and the sewer and everything in place, and then they set everything up, and then you have those who come in who set the forms in place for the foundation, and then you have the contractors who deal with the concrete, and they come in and they pour the concrete in there and put the rebar in and everything else to strengthen and steady that concrete, and they set all that stuff in order and make sure that all of the connectors to external services are already in place before the concrete is poured. Then you have the masonry workers who come in and begin to build up the walls around the basement for the foundation upon that foundation. Now, those who come above that are the carpenters and those who do drywall and electricity and electricians and plumbers and roofers and the like. But guess what? The roofer don't show up before the foundation is poured. You see that? And the plumber doesn't show up or the electrician doesn't show up before they have already established certain things within the foundation and the basement and that. Amen? Because the conduit that has to run out and in has to be poured through the concrete. All those things have to be set in place. Amen? Now, what am I saying? Is that you are here now at this point in time because you are the tool. You are the contractor, if you will, that God chose to use at this point in time for his plan. See that? So you couldn't have came before this. And if you come after this, you'll be out of place. Bishop Block, spiritual mother of ours, said something that was very important. She said, listen, the scaffold inside this building will be okay when we haven't put up the back wall. In order to do some of the work that's higher up, we bring in one of those scaffolds and we set it up and we do all the, you know, the work in here. And then they back out the scaffold and then they put up the back wall because the scaffold couldn't fit through any door. See, what happens is, what we do here is we look at things that are in place during the time. And then after the time, they'll be out of place. And if we don't move, then they'll be stuck in place. See, so we have to learn how to use the time that God has given us to do the work he gave us to do. Because after this, the time is up, the door is shut, the wall is put up, the job is over. Where will you be? Huh? When we, as mature saints, begin to talk back and forth, how do we talk? What do we say? Are we sitting there debating dogma and doctrines of men that interpret the word of God? When the word of God says one thing, do we follow a black book or do we follow the word of God? Do we debate left and right trying to make people look more intelligent or more spiritual than the other? Or are we just simply trying to get the body of Christ to grow? Questions we need to ask. Answers we need to have. We got to get this together. God is trying to get us to grow, trying to get us to mature. And when we talk, we need to talk so that we don't discourage those who are still on milk, who hear our conversation. There's so much that we have to say to this, but our time is away from us. Amen. Come on, let's go ahead and pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this opportunity to minister to your people. I don't take it lightly, Lord, the word that you give me, the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, Lord, I pray that they're acceptable in your sight. You're my strength and my redeemer. Help us, Lord, to walk full and worthy of the calling that you've given us. Help us to focus on growing, not to be intelligent in our own eyes, but to be intelligent toward demonstrating the power of God. The power of God did not just come in word, but in power and demonstration. Help us to get back to miracle signs and wonders. And more so than that, help us to be to expect them, Lord. Our faith isn't even towards them anymore. We stop expecting miracles. We stop expecting signs. We stop fasting and praying for miracle signs and wonders to manifest. Give us a fire for it again, in Jesus' name. And I thank you for every miracle, sign, and wonder that will manifest because we seek after you and your will in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I pray for those who are not saved. I pray, Lord, that they will simply pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Lord, I pray that those that have prayed their prayer will find Bible-believing churches, Bible teaching churches where they may mature and be developed and go on to do what you called them to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org, www.ctkr.org. There, become a bishop partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel around the world. Don't forget Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference, October 18th and 19th. In Cocoa, Florida, being held at the Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. Amen. God bless you.